Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. I have more jokes, but man, you guys came hungry today and I can sense it. So let's do this. Let's orient our hearts. Let's take a minute and orient our hearts. And bow your heads with me. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. We thank you for your precious, holy, written word. We thank you that it's your word that's a lamp unto our feet, that it's your word that's a light unto our path. And God, we thank you that it's your spirit that's our teacher today, that I'm a vessel for pouring, and these, your sheep, are vessels for receiving. And it's your Holy Spirit that's our teacher today. And he doesn't just give us information. He brings revelation that makes available transformation. And we commit as a congregation that we will receive comfort and conviction from your word today. And we thank you that in the book of James, it declares that as we do, we will be blessed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Excuse me. So we're in a series called The Gift of Belonging. And so this is the last message in that series, and I want to encourage you. Why don't we do this? Let's welcome all of our online guests as well. Thank you guys for joining us. I don't know if you guys know this, but about half as many as we have in the building, we have watching online. And so, yeah, it's a pretty big deal. Thank you guys for joining us, really. But if you haven't been with us, we're in a series called The Gift of Belonging, and the whole premise of the series is that you are a gift to the church, and the church is a gift to you, because the church isn't a building. The church is the people, and everyone has a part to play, and we're made. We have a personal relationship with Jesus, correct? But that personal relationship with Jesus is not private. The same way that the cross points up and down, and that represents your personal relationship with Jesus. You cannot maintain a personal relationship with Jesus without the horizontal line of being connected to his body, the church. They are equally important. And so we started off theologically, me going through that and showing you in the scripture where to be connected to Jesus is to be connected with his body, the church, the body of believers. And then what we did was we pulled up people that shared testimony, because how many of you know you can't argue with somebody's testimony? And testimony is powerful. So we had different people from the lead team and even grow team leaders come up and just tell their story about how they had been hurt in church, but then they were also healed in church. And that it wasn't a matter of being a part of the church or not being a part of the church. It was a matter of being connected with Jesus and then being connected to the church he called you to and finding a place where you belong. Everybody turn and look at the wall. See that? We believe that. We have a saying here. Okay? You belong before you believe. And you belong before you behave. Now, if you don't like that, just look straight forward. Just look straight forward. Are you with me? It's the gift of belonging. I shared my testimony, and then last week, Jason came up and challenged us about the responsibility that comes with belonging someplace. And he ended in Isaiah. And I love the scripture that he used. And it's that verse in Isaiah where God is on his throne and he's looking at all these people that are hurting. And he says, who shall I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Send me. The gift of belonging is more than just getting a house and getting a car and getting land, you know, and finding a wife and finding a job through faith. It's more than that. That is part of it, sure. But I've got children in the room right now, and what they eat every night for dinner is such a small part of their relationship with me. I said, what they eat every night for dinner is such a minuscule, small part of what it means to be my child. Are you with me? And so we're going to end this series after talking about all of that. I spoke about offense. Listen, if you're going to be in the body of Christ, you're going to get offended. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I want to encourage you to go and talk or go and look online. Yeah, talk with Jesus as you listen to the message that I shared about offense, right? Because if you're gonna rub elbows with people at all, you're going to get offended. I think it's so crazy that you never go to a hospital. Never, never. One time did you ever go to a hospital and expect nobody to be sick? Well, why would you come to church and expect all the people to be perfect there? And I have never once in my life to the ER. Hey, you got to let me in. What's wrong with you? I'm fine. I'm good. I'm just happy to be here. I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord, you know? Instead of like, oh, I broke my arm. How'd you break it? I was being stupid. You can say that in the ER. You know what? You can say it here too. Hey, man, I made a mess. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And so we're going to end this by tying it all back in, because what our goal here at Victory Life Church is to see lives transformed by Jesus. Not about me, not about anybody that stands up on the stage. I can't save you, I can't heal you, I can't do anything for you, but Jesus can. I just happen to know him and listen to him. And if I can connect you with him, then he can do what he needs to do. Amen? So we're going to end the series with belonging with Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to read a scripture, and for some of you, it's going to be familiar. If you've been here for a while, it's going to be familiar, but many of you haven't been here for a while, it's not going to be familiar. So we're going to dig into the scripture today, and as we do that, we have a practice here. I would like you to stand up on your feet. We're going to venerate the scripture. So here's how this is going to happen, just so that you know what to expect. I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to declare out loud, this is the word of the Lord. And then you're going to respond, praise be to God. We're praising God for his word. We're taking God's word seriously. Why? Because it's not Wikipedia. It's not CNN. It's not Fox News. It's not slanted. It's the whole truth, and it's nothing but the truth. It's God's word. Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. It is the whole truth and nothing but the truth all the time. It is the only true anchor. It is God's word in our life that sets us free. It's the truth that sets us free. So we're venerating that. We're recognizing as a congregation, God, we receive your word. And we're going to start in Hebrews 11:1, which is one of my favorite scriptures. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Let's praise him for it. You may be seated. In order for you to understand what it means to belong with Jesus, we're going to have to dig into the word a little bit today. Is that okay? Now, I need you to put your thinking caps on, because we follow something here. Let's tell them what we follow here, guys. Rules of biblical interpretation. There are rules to biblical interpretation. Why do we follow those rules, guys? Because you don't decide what the Bible means. You discover what it means. And there are rules that you have to follow. Jesus followed the rules. We follow the rules. Right? So we're going to dig into this today, but I'm going to paint a picture of you what it means when you actually belong with Jesus. And it's going to encourage you today. I'm going to empower you today to face your life. Are you ready? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's put that up there. Thank you very much. Now, we all know if you've been here for any amount of time, let's just go through this. This word faith, the word faith in the Greek is the word pistis. Everybody say that with me, pistis. That word faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word faith is pistis. In the Greek, the word, it's 4102 in the Strong's Concordance. And it means literally a persuasion. A firm persuasion. Vine says it's a conviction based on what you believe. Or what you have heard. It's simply what you believe. So say it with me. Faith is a persuasion. It's a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based on what I have heard. It's simply what I believe. Did you know that in the New Testament, all through the New Testament, every book of the New Testament, when we read the English word faith or the English word believe, those words are used interchangeably because in the Greek, it's the same word. One is the noun form, 4102. One is the verb form, 4103. One is to be persuaded, and one is persuasion. It means that you're persuaded. This next word, substance, that's the word hupostasia. Hupostasia. Now, stasia is to stand or a stance, a standing. And hupo means under. It literally is a standing under or a ground or a foundation or a basis. They use that word. If you read in the Amplified Bible, it'll even say title deed. It's because they use that word legally to mean like if someone had grounds for a divorce, if someone had grounds to sue you, right? Or if they had grounds for a claim of property, it was the title deed. It is the basis that stands under your right to claim that property. It means basis. So persuasion is the basis of things hoped for. Now in the Greek, things hoped for is one word, elpizomai. I think it's elpizomai. And it comes from a root word, elpizo, which means hope. Now here's the thing about Bible hope, and this is where we get confused. Because in our world, we say, hey, are you going to make it on time? Boy, I sure hope so. We use hope in the sense of wants, wishes, and desires. But the Bible word hope does not mean that. Jesus is our hope. What does that mean? Confident expectation. The word means expectation. Not just expectation, but I am confident in my expectation. Right? So question for extra points. What rule of biblical interpretation are we using right now? Literal meaning. We're looking at the literal meaning of the words. Let's read it again now. Now, what I believe is the basis of what I expect. We call this the dipstick of your faith. Listen to me very carefully. I'll clear so much garbage up for you if you just listen to me right here. These next 5 minutes, revolutionary for your life. You know how if you want to know if you've got transmission fluid, you go to the dipstick for the transmission fluid. If you want to know if you've got oil, you go to the dipstick for the oil. If you want to know what you're believing for, if you want to know if you're in faith about something, the dipstick is what are you expecting? Because whatever you're expecting, that's what you believe. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? But now here's the thing. It ends by saying something else. Everybody say, read the next verse, right? The next part of the verse, the next line, context. That's the rule. You read what's said before, you read what's said after. It says, faith, what you believe, is the basis for what you expect. It's the evidence of things that you don't see. Mike, are you getting a check on Friday? Have you seen it yet? How you know it's coming? You're expecting it based on Do you see that? You see it? It's super simple. Here's the crazy thing, though. That's easy to understand. What does this have to do with belonging with Jesus? I'm glad you asked me. That's what we're talking about today. Remember, everybody say, read this with me. It's the evidence of things not seen. Okay? So let me read you a passage from, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 14. Everybody say, belonging with Jesus. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus can't lie. Peter put him in a position where, I mean, if it's you, call me. And so Jesus said, come. Now you remember what we talked about when Jason said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Notice Jesus didn't, you know, we sing the song, "He calls you out upon the wall." He only called you because you answered the call already. You asked to be called. Come on now, somebody. This is called exegesis. Okay? You can hear all kinds of harebrained idiocy from somebody that has a YouTube channel or a podcast. Right? We're talking about biblical interpretation. Right? We teach the word. We don't teach ourselves or our opinion. It's the word. Are you with me? Peter didn't ask, or Jesus didn't ask Peter to walk on the water. Peter asked Jesus to call him on the water. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, Peter, come out on the water." Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, call me on the water." Right? Isn't that our life? We see Jesus. We see what it's capable of to be like Jesus. We see what we can do if we're with Jesus. And so we say, "Jesus, here I am. Send me." And he says, "Okay." Right? Doesn't he say, "Many are called, but few are chosen"? Who get chosen? That's not condemnation. The people that answer the call. Right? So watch this now. I'm going to tweak you. I'm going to tweak your brains. Are you ready? He said, "Come." Jesus, with one word, a one-word command, hand-delivered to Peter the power to walk on water. And all Peter had to do was what? Obey. We don't like to talk about that. All he had to do was obey. Just obey Jesus. If you belong with Jesus, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to obey him. He is Savior. Yes, absolutely. He's also Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords. You don't get one without the other. He loves you. He'll never throw you away. We're going to see that. But when he tells you to do something, you do what he tells you to do. Period. But now I want you to watch this. The next verse says, and when Peter had come out of the boat, go back. When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go with Jesus. So Jesus said, "Come." Peter obeyed and he stepped out on the water. Did you see? He was persuaded. And so he expected to what? Walk on water. Here's the problem. Next verse. Everybody say, read the next verse. Read the next verse. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous. So what's he looking at now? And he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Hold on a second now. So at first he was looking at Jesus and he was looking at what Jesus said. So he looked at Jesus's example, the proof, and then he obeyed Jesus's word. And he expected to walk on water. And so his faith was working just fine until he saw something he didn't expect. Did Jesus ever tell him, "Come out on the water unless it gets windy"? unless there are waves. See, that's the difference between substance and circumstance. You can see circumstance. And Peter's problem wasn't that he wasn't expecting to walk on water. Peter's problem was he expected to just walk on water like it was no big deal. And when something he didn't expect that Jesus didn't tell him about was coming, because he didn't need to know. All he needed to know was that if Jesus can do it, I can do it, and he commanded me to do it. But when he got his eyes off of the word and onto his circumstances, see it? He was afraid. And beginning to sink. Now, we've got this idea that like, oh man, if I mess up, if I have a doubt in my mind, I'm going to lose my healing. I'm going to lose my salvation. I'm going to lose my grace. I'm going to lose this. And something bad's going to, it doesn't say Peter said, he looked at the wind and he became afraid and boom, he went straight under. Doesn't say that. You try to step out. I've tried it several times. I have actually at the YMCA pool tried this several times. To step out on the water and say, Lord, save me. I have only, the farthest that I've gotten is, blah, 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 blah. He didn't go straight down. What it means is, as your attention is averted, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. The things that are seen are temporal, temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. Jesus didn't change his mind. Your focus determines your reality. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. So his attention, so listen to this. His persuasion was based on his expectation instead of his expectation being based on his persuasion. He got it backwards. He expected it to go just this way, and when it didn't go the way that he thought it was going to go, he began to fear. He got distracted by his circumstances, by his situation, and because his attention was on his situation, it was something he didn't expect. The power in the word that was delivered to him, he wasn't making the most of it, and he began to sink because he was giving that power to his circumstances, and his faith was shifting from what Jesus said to what was going on around him. Now, Peter has given us lots of bad examples. He has. But this was a great example that he gave us because Peter said, Lord, save me. He knew where his help was. He knew where his help was. He knew Jesus well enough to know, I can't do this on my own. So he recentered his life on, hey, Lord, save me. He ran to God, not from him. If you're in a situation where your circumstances are making you afraid, just turn your attention back to Jesus. Turn your attention back to his word. Right? So many times we get this condemnation because like faith and only faith and nothing but faith. And what about the guy that was like, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And then Jesus was like, well, I can't heal your son because you had that little bit of faith. That's not what happened. Jesus said, okay, I'll help your faith. Boom. Are you with me? We run from Jesus with our doubt when we should run to him with our doubt. Bring it to him. Doubting Thomas, right? I will not believe. And we learn a lot about unbelief through that. We do learn a lot from that. But recognize that Jesus didn't say, well, okay, then you're going to hell. You're going to hell! Just like Judas, because you don't believe. No, he went, okay, don't be unbelieving. Look, he'll prove it to you. Look. Are you with me? You run to him, not from him. Let's praise Jesus for that. Come on. Draw boldly before the throne of grace. Draw boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive mercy and find grace to help you in time of need. I didn't write that, by the way. That was in the scripture. I want you to notice the last thing that Jesus says. It says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him and he said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? That word little faith there is oligopistis, oligopistis. And it literally means little persuasion, right? What he's telling Peter is, you were only persuaded as far as what you expected. And when things happened that you didn't expect, your persuasion came off of what I said, and you were more persuaded about what was going on than you were about my word and my example. Are you with me? So that's one side of the coin, little persuasion. I'm persuaded, but to a point. Now let's look at the opposite of this. Let's look at the other side of the coin. Let's use our brains and let's look at the other side of the coin. Let's look at Abraham. Let's go to Romans. Listen, if you're going to walk on the water with Jesus, you have to expect some waves. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. Right? This idea that the blessed life means you're never going to have a problem. That's not what Jesus said. The storms of life come to us all. But the one that builds his house on the rock, that's the one. The storm's going to come. The wind's going to blow. And you're going to be all right. Are you with me? Here's the thing about that. Yes, Lord, thank you. Here's the thing about the rock and the sand, right? The sand conforms to you. You find the church that teaches it just like you like it. So comfortable, nice and snug. Right? You find the person that conforms to you. So comfortable, just nice and just the way I like it. Nice and snug. Right? But then when the storm comes, here's the crazy thing. The sand conforms to you, but you conform to the rock. But belonging with Jesus means when the storms do come, what takes other people out, it'll take you out. There's stability. Are you with me? All right. So let's look at Abraham now. Watch this now. And not being, everybody say it with me, weak in faith. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He's not looking at his circumstances. He wasn't weak in persuasion. Did you see that? I'm not really convinced, you know, because of this and this. It didn't say that it wasn't true. Question, was it a fact that his body was already dead? It was a fact. The deadness of Sarah's womb, was that a fact? We would call that a fact, right? But he didn't consider those facts. Watch this now. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelief is apistia. It's the next one. It is not persuaded. It is, I will not be persuaded because of these things that I can see. Remember, faith is the substance of things you can't see yet. There's an expectation. Right? So he didn't look at the things that were going on around him to tell him what was true, although they were facts. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in persuasion, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced. That word right there, guess what that word is? Persuaded. So you've got Peter that was little persuaded. You've got Abraham that did not look at his circumstances and he was fully persuaded that what he was promised, he was also able to perform. Watch this now. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now watch this. You say, yeah, well, that was Abraham, Pastor Will. That was Abraham. You know, he's in the hall of fame of faith. He's the father of faith. And there was something special on Abraham. Abraham's blessing was special, and he was special, and that was just to teach us something, right? Well, then why does it say, now it was not written for his sake alone? Now, I didn't write this, okay? I'm 47. This was written thousands of years ago by a man named Paul. I didn't write this. This is scripture. And this is not even my version. It's the New King James Version. See it there? Not my idea. Read it with me. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Next verse. But also for, everybody say it.
Us.
Say it again.
Us.
Say it again.
Us.
It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. For he was delivered up for our offenses and was raised to life for our justification. My relationship with God is solidified in what Jesus did for me as I accept it by faith and then apply it to my life with expectation. Same way Abraham did. See it? Not just for him, for us. You see it? The problem is we struggle when we have a definite expectation that God is good and he's going to come through, but then we start to experience wind and waves and storm. Right? Belonging with Jesus means you're going to have to expect some waves. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I've already overcome it. Are you with me? And Jesus himself told us this. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 16. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. This is the parable of the sower. Now, Jesus put a premium on this parable of sorts. He said, the disciples said, will you describe this to us? And Mark, earlier in this chapter, they said, will you describe this to us? And Jesus said, you don't yet understand. If you can't understand this parable, you won't understand all parables. You won't understand any other parable if you don't get this one down. Right? This is like primary. This is the primary one. And in this one, watch this now. These, likewise, are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. How many of you? That's me. What? I don't have to go to hell? And God loves me? And he wants to bless me? Oh, and he can heal me? I'm down. I'm down for that. Both feet. I'm down for that. But we're not expecting any waves, see? So watch, next verse. Everybody say, read the next verse. Watch. And they have no root in themselves. What does that mean? They don't have root in themselves. They're rooted in what they see outside of themselves. So as long as everything is going well, then they believe it. But as soon as it doesn't look like God's coming through, they start to disbelieve it. Watch this now. I'm not making this up. Watch. They have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. And afterward, everybody read it with me. Tribulation and persecution. Ooh. Question, are you blessed?
Yes.
Absolutely you are. Will you face tribulation?
Yes.
Yes. Will you face persecution?
Yes.
Yes. Your blessing puts you over in those situations. Right? Those are the storms of life. Those are the winds and the waves. Watch this now. When tribulation or persecution arises, say this with me, for the word's sake. The devil don't care about you. He's scared of the word that's in you. He's scared of what the word can do through you. And sometimes, oh, I don't even want to say that. Sometimes what you're facing, it's for the word's sake. Sometimes what you're facing is because God's given you a word, and it might be a rhema word. Maybe you've got a call. Maybe you've got a future. Maybe you've got a ministry. Maybe you've got something going on in you, and it's propelling you forward, and the enemy's so scared of it that tribulation and persecution arise to try to get you to let go of the word that's in you. It's a distraction. Are you with me? That's good. I will say that. You might not like this. Y'all might not like this. In the church, you're going to be offended. And you know what? Read the next verse. Immediately they stumble. Next verse. They become offended. That word is offended. Immediately they stumble. That word, stumble, is offended. They become offended. They become offended. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Being a part of Jesus' church means what? You're going to have to deal with offense sometimes. You know what belonging with Jesus means? Sometimes you're going to get offended with him. This doesn't primarily mean that you're offended with the people who are persecuting you, right? Because tribulation is included. It is God. How many of you, and this might be too real for you, how many of you are in a place where you're like, God, why did you let this happen to me? Couple of honest people. Come on. Why in the world? I'm blessed, and I'm believing with you, and I'm living for you, and I'm doing my darndest to serve you. Why in the heck did you let this happen to me? And you become offended. You start to look at the wind. You start to look at the waves. And you begin to sink. Are you with me? Maybe it's persecution. Maybe somebody said something, did something to you. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. They did it to Jesus. Jesus himself said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. No one is above their master. It's actually an honor when you get persecuted, right? For my sake and for the gospel's sake. People are going to say all kinds of nasty things about you. They will. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Did you hear me now? I don't care how good you are, how close you play it to the line, I do not care. There are going to be people that persecute you. Are you with me? Here's the thing. Doesn't change God's word. Doesn't change what he put in you. Doesn't change what he called you to do. Now, sometimes you're like Peter and you did do something and you got to, you know, Paul had to come to Peter and say, hey, man, you need to yank the slack out of this, right? But we talked about that in the offense. If you don't know about how that and boundaries, and there are things that sometimes, yeah, man, it's not persecution. That's your own silly thing. You shouldn't have done that, right? But sometimes you didn't do anything. And either way, you're still going to get it. You're either going to mess up or somebody's going to try to mess with you, but that's just a part of belonging with Jesus. Are you with me? And so I'm going to close there today, and I want to go to Proverbs. I'm gonna teach you something now. Now that I feel like I've broken up all the fallow ground in your heart. Okay? So I'm gonna close there now. And we're gonna go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Now let's stop there and talk about that. Does he say you shouldn't seek understanding? No, he says you don't need to understand to believe. You know, Jesus wasn't looking, we're not called understanders. We're called believers. Even in the ancient Christianity, Thomas Aquinas called it faith-seeking understanding. right? Watch this now. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean unto your own understanding. Watch this now. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That word acknowledge in the Greek, or in the Hebrew, it's the word yada. Yada. And it's not just I know that 2 + 2 = 4. It's the word that is when a man knows his wife. It's intimate knowledge. It's I know who you are. I know who you are. We have a relationship. You don't change. So I'm not trying to understand how this could happen, why this has happened before I believe in you. I'm believing you while I'm trying to understand why this has happened and how this has happened. But why and how this happened has nothing to do with whether I believe in you or not. Are you with me? And so I want to use, I'm going to close with an illustration today. Mershon, just come up here real quick. Jump up here. Just come stand right here. Okay? Mershon, you've known me long enough. You have yada with me. You know me. You know my character. We spent time together, right? So in front of all these people and with all the people watching online, I'm going to promise you something you're not going to understand. And you're going to have to trust me. I promise you that I have something in my pocket right here that no human being has ever touched or even seen. Can you understand that? How many of you can understand? How did it get in my pocket, right? Some of you thinkers, some of you, you're like, wait a second. How did it get in his pocket if he didn't touch it? And how could it be seen, right? There's all those things you just don't understand. But Mershon knows me, and he knows that if I promise him and I'm not going to lie to him, he's got to trust on what he knows about me because he doesn't understand what I'm saying to him. My ways are higher than your ways, says the Lord. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, says the Lord. Now, Mershon, I want to show you, but in order for me to show you, you've got to agree that you believe that I'm telling you the truth. You believe me, don't you? Why do you believe me? Not because you understand, but because of why? We built a relationship, and you know I won't lie to you. You guys ready to understand now? Now that we've gotten the faith part out of it, ready to understand? It's just a peanut. See it? But inside that shell are two little peanuts. They're not actually nuts. I don't know why that, a peanut is neither a pea or a nut. It's a legume, but I digress. There are two little beans in there. There are two little beans in there that no human being has touched or even seen. Now, you didn't understand it before. Now you understand. But should you have believed in me? I was telling the truth the whole time. I was telling the truth the whole time. Praise God for it. Go sit down. So this is what I want to do. We're going to do a different sort of a call today. It's more of a worship call. I want you to stand up on your feet. We're going to go through a few verses of a song. And I know that there are many of you that are facing challenges. Lots of you young people are going through transition. Lots of you have questions about grandma and Aunt Minnie and all of those other things. And what I want you to do is reorient. I can't save you. Jesus saves you. I can't answer. Well, I could probably answer a lot of your questions, but it's going to come from the Word and it's going to come from Jesus. And my job is to connect you to Him. Amen. So what I would like you to do, we're going to go through these few choruses of this song. And if that's you and you're dealing with areas where you're trying to understand, you're focused on the circumstances and you need to repent and you need to reorient your heart to God. I'm giving you this worship moment. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I'm sinking. And we're all going to do it together. We're going to pray together. And if that's you, in this time of worship, I want you to reorient your heart. Forgive God for the things that you're offended by and begin to lean in, repent, and trust Him again. Now, the prayer team is coming forward. They're going to be up front, and we may even have some in the back. Okay? So when service is over, if you need help or ministry, please come forward and receive it. But let's follow Pastor Haley in our time of worship as we close.
Man, that was good. That is the key, is that trust. And you know, as we put our trust in the Lord, that relationship builds and trust grows. I've been married to my wife for 34 years, and the trust I have in her is 100 times more than any of y'all and all y'all put together because of those 34 years. And I'm telling you, that trust grows with the Lord. In Proverbs 21:31, it says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. So take these lessons about belonging with Jesus. Take these things. Prepare yourself. In prayer this morning in a prayer room when we were praying for this service, a direction we had was about the Lord giving us strategies for change. Direction for change. That requires us to do some preparation things. That requires us to take some steps. You know, all through the scriptures, some people, the Lord gave them a strategy. It was send the praise and worship team out in front of the army. Others, it's build up the walls. Others, it's tear something down. Some, it was march around these walls, and then there's coming a day to shout. But the victory will belong to the Lord. So seek Jesus. Get on that tailgate with Him and seek Jesus for the strategy He has for your heart, your home, and your life, for the change that's required. required in that, so you can be that person that he's called. And so we just want to thank you for that. And after the end of the service here, when you're getting ready to be dismissed, the young adults, if you guys could wait out in the lobby while the ushers service by putting up the tables and getting things ready. And just remember, it's not too late to sign up for water baptism and next in that, or for the life groups. And we just want to say thank you for coming. And I just want to speak a blessing over you and say thank you for that. And let me just release that over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I call you blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.